So, my dear family, this is my appeal to you by the mercies of God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Worship like this brings your mind into line with God's. What's more, don't let yourselves be squeezed into the shape dictated by the present age. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can work out what God's will is, what is good, acceptable, and complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Sewell. Good to see you. I'm Gary. I'm the senior pastor at Church Without Walls. And today we are ending our very beautiful and long series called From Survival to Revival that we started at our retreat this year. And so one thing that we did during the series a couple times is to stand up. So everybody stand up. And please show someone around you a stretch that you like to do, and then they will show you a stretch that they like to do. It's getting our body involved here, so a go-to stretch. Whoa, nice. Some people are on the ground. All right.
Thank you.
You may now return to your seats. Our little body work stretching experience is partly a shout out to Juan Manuel and Melissa, who led us in some cool body work at the retreat. And Juan Manuel and Melissa are here this morning with Kaim Sequoia Aldape, who is here for the very first time. So welcome, especially to Kaim. I'm sure that Kaim is growing faster than any of us here present. He is doing great. So welcome. It's such a joy to have you back and to welcome him as part of our community. So there he is. We hope to hear from him throughout the remainder of this morning. So go for it. He's asleep right now. That's great. I would also like to welcome those who are listening by podcast this morning, of whom there are many. This is one of the first times, I think, in a while that Berkeley Public Schools has the entire week off. So a lot of us are traveling. A lot of us are with family right now. But a little bit like Paul's letter, like the letter that we've read twice this morning, they would actually circulate those letters. So Paul would write it to the Romans, and then he'd give it to the Colossians. They'd pass it to the Ephesians. They'd move it around to the Thessalonians. So as well, I just have a sense this morning that as we look at this word together, as we close this series, that it's really this is for our whole community, those of us who are here together this morning, and those of us who are scattered about maybe with relatives that we both enjoy and also other feelings that may be there. So we are welcome to all of us. We're here together. And I'm very excited to kind of close this series because, first of all, like this particular passage that we've kind of been beating into the ground. Like we've been reading it every week in a sort of responsive reading way. It's our main text tonight. And it's really partially because early on, as I was studying for the series in the summer, N.T. Wright, who's one of the most kind of famous New Testament scholars we really like around here, we've been using his translation for this whole series. He said that these two verses sort of encapsulate everything Paul is saying about our life in Christ after we've believed. Like after we believe, what happens next? It's kind of in this passage. And so in this passage, we see here in verse 1, this picture of our spiritual worship. We offer our bodies to God in very particular actionable spiritual practices, and that that's an act of worship, and that there's a wide range of those. And that in that, in verse 2, that God transforms us by renewing our minds, which is not just our brains, but it's really our deepest selves. That God's a deep God, and God goes deep into us, and that as we step into these practices of renewal, that God consistently transforms us. And so, you know, here's this little passage which just embodies what it means. It's kind of like, well, this is the normal Christian life. This is what it means to follow Jesus. But then as we've seen over the last 10 weeks, and I don't know, probably not very many of us have been here and seen all 10, like I've had the privilege to, but even if you were here for like 6 or 8 of them, it's just a welter of like images, right? It's really kind of cool. So as I was thinking like, well, how can we end well? How can we end this together? I just want to go through all the images together like right now. What I would like to do is to construct a collage, basically. So if we were back at the retreat, say, what we would be doing is we'd all have a bunch of magazines, and I would say, like, okay, 2 Corinthians 4, like, everybody has to have an image for that, and you'd go through, like, you know, Cosmopolitan or, you know, The Atlantic or whatever you would do. We wouldn't have Cosmopolitan. We're a godly church. We wouldn't have that. But, you know, we'd have The New Yorker and Atlantic and The Economist, and you'd find your... But... So what I've done is I've just chosen these metaphors. And Paul, let me just tell you, if you think this is overwhelming, like a new metaphor every week, you haven't seen nothing yet. Paul has like 50 controlling metaphors. So I've carefully curated these metaphors. You're welcome. But I do think it's kind of cool to go through each of them after our 10 weeks together and just to say, what picture does this give us? And not what pictures does this give us. If you look at it together in a collage, all at once, even if you've missed some of the weeks, like, what does that say to us? So I'm really excited to kind of go through this together. And as we look at it together, I would just encourage you to, like, have your antenna up for, like, which image especially strikes you. And you may already have a favorite image or, like, oh, I really remember that armor thing. That was great. Or whatever it is. But just have your antenna up and see if it's the same image or maybe a different one this time that I really think is for you as an individual. Like, I really think God has something special for us as we close this series, and it's good to grab a hold of that. And then I'd also like to share the image that I think maybe is for all of us as well, whether it's your individual one or not. The reason for me, this series has been a long time coming. And we called it From Survival to Revival for a reason. And that is because I feel like our church has, there's a lot of us in our church that have been through a lot of hard things recently. And as I've talked to people, as we pray for you, as we kind of connect, there's really a sense that a lot of us really are in survival mode, that we're going through a lot of hard things. And that for some of us, we've lost our sense of like optimism and belief in growth because we're just kind of surviving. As we've gone through this series, I've just had this sense of like God wanting to give us a new hope, a fresh hope, and to give us a fuller picture of what revival looks like. As we said really early on in the series, we talked about how like revival, for those of us that have a sort of church background, it maybe conjures up pictures of one exciting moment. Like revival breaks out and everything is great all the time and you feel really good and you're always close to God and everything in your life is working out. And so it's been a little bit subversive to use that word revival, because as we've been seeing and as we'll see in this collage, I really think that Paul's images help us to redefine revival, help us to shift our expectations still to something that's very, very deeply optimistic. But that's maybe not that sort of picture of like, if I have revival, it's really exciting, everything's great, and it's on a spiritual high 100% of the time. It's not very reasonable. And so let's just look now at this collage of revival as we've walked through it. And it starts off, and by the way, this is not in order, because collages have no order, right? So I've chosen to switch around the order because we can, so why not? And I think it does start maybe with a recognition of many of our feelings of, man, I'm just surviving. Because Paul is very honest. And Paul is very honest about the context in which revival happens is in, it's in war, man. It's hard. Life is hard. There are physical forces that are like beating us down. There are social forces that are hard. And there are spiritual forces that are around us that are actively causing trouble for us. And so Paul's very honest. Paul is not, he's not a naive optimist. He's a realistic optimist. And so he's very clear that we're in the middle of the battle, and revival does not mean taking us out of the battle, but what it does mean is giving us the armor that we need to protect ourselves so that we are not crushed by these blows. So that's our first image, stolen from Deanna. Thank you very much, Deanna. And I think that realism continues in our next image, which is the idea that we are jars of clay, that even that revival, that treasure that happens in the midst of us, is like in these kind of broken, it's really like broken pottery. And so I think the image of revival is really beautiful, this kintsugi image, which is the, as you may remember, it's the Japanese art of bringing back together broken pottery using gold. You see how, and I've chosen this image which is not finished yet. So I think there's a picture of us, like we have this treasure in jars of clay and we're not finished yet, right? And so God is like even using the broken parts of us to weave us back together again and to actually make something that's even more beautiful than before the breaking happens. That these are parts of our picture of revival, right, as we kind of continue to put it together. And then we looked at this idea of revival is kind of like running a race. It's like training together. It's like getting together and getting out there and training. And revival is something that as we make that small choice to get up together and show up, to run, I tried to find a picture of redwoods running through because that's cool. But what's interesting about the image of training together is that it's true that we choose to train together, but it's God that gives the growth, right? You ever think about like how, like did you know that training, the growth that happens in your training, when does it happen? Yeah, exactly. It happens when you're asleep. It's like not even something that you control. Like when you run together, sometimes when I've really run, and I'd say you run a long way and you're really like super tired, and then you're like, whoa, I did that. There's like no going back. Like, you know, now I'm tired, or now I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna be sore the next day or something. But what's interesting is at that point, once you've trained, you go to sleep and your body just has this regenerative power that makes you stronger. Like that while you train, you're actually tearing down your body and sending a signal to your body to refix it. So there's this like force for growth in your body that as you use it, it becomes stronger. And so the image here is like God is that force in our lives. That God is this force that's sort of making us stronger and faster and more resilient sort of as we train. And that's something that we participate in as we train, but we can't control that growth. It's something that God gives us as a gift. So it really goes together. And so we talked about, Brittany actually talked with us about this image of making the healthy choice the easy choice, right? We talked about the challenges of showing up to have our spiritual practices, right? That in the moment, there's something else we might rather be doing, like namely sleeping longer without training first, or, you know, whatever else. That it can be hard to like do the right thing and get your flu shot. And so we sort of need each other to create spaces in which, hey, it's an easy thing. And this service is an experience of that, right? This service is basically like saying, free flu shots, just come. Just come, you show up, you get a free shot. So all of you, free spiritual flu shot this morning. That's kind of what we're doing. And then we talked too about how this particular community is really blessed with many different spiritualities, many different spiritual practices. Really, there's something for everyone. That this is not just a one-size-fits-all, that here's the way you should train, here's the way you're going to grow, but that there's a rich array of ways that we can meet God, which is important because we're all in different places. And I think that one of the things that's really struck me, one of the reasons I think this series has been really important is because there's a voice in the battle, there's a voice which speaks to us. And the voice, this is an evil voice. This voice says, yeah, you can have revival, but not now. Not in this season of your life. Once the kids grow up, then you can have revival. Once the kids move away, then you can have revival. Once you have kids, then you can have revival. Once you get better, then you can have revival. Once you overcome your depression, then you can have revival. Once work eases up, then you can have revival. Once you have reconciliation with that hard relationship, then you can have revival. And there's always a reason to not have revival. But I think what God is saying to us through these images, and even through all these different spiritualities, is there is a way of receiving revival in every season of our lives. That God is not threatened or intimidated or overcome by the situations that we're in. And God can meet us in those places, even though it's hard. And God does not magically resolve those. That there's a way to meet God in those places. And there's even a person or a group in this church that can walk with you in whatever season you're in. And so I just think we're really blessed, even in this relatively small community, that there's such a rich diversity of practicing together. And then we also looked at kind of another beautiful passage where Paul talks, he mixes his metaphors, as he's wont to do. He talks about how walking in the Spirit, like, and he uses the phrase to keep in step with the Spirit. He talked about how, like, interestingly, revival, against all of everything we may have heard, revival is not a big sudden one-time thing, but it's a gradual step-by-step thing, kind of like walking. You keep in step with the Spirit and you stay connected, and then you grow the fruit of the Spirit, which is, so both of these images, and so the fruit of the Spirit, I've purposely chosen Berkeley Bowl fruits, and I've never seen these at Berkeley Bowl, but has anyone seen durian at Berkeley Bowl? Is it there? Not good? Because I have obviously been to Berkeley Bowl like every week of my life, and I've never smelled durian. I assume if durian is present, then you smell it, right?
Well, they usually have it wrapped and wrapped.
Oh, they wrap it. Okay. Anyway.
They sealed in all the aroma.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure if the Apostle Paul had durian in mind when he thought of the fruits of the Spirit, but we don't know. But as we talked about, what's interesting is both of these metaphors that Paul mixes in this passage in Galatians 5 is very gradual. It's like step by step. And then fruit as it ripens too, like it takes some time. Starts as this tiny plant, and then gradually over time it becomes this spiky durian that you can... I hear that durian ice cream is the best way to go. But anyway, these different spiritual fruits that which bear resonance in our lives, love and joy and peace, that's a sort of daily revival, the ability to, like, love this person that's very, very hard, the ability to experience peace in the midst of an unresolved relationship, the ability to have joy when it doesn't make any sense, even if it's just for a fleeting moment, all of these different fruits that God bears in our lives, part of this rich array of metaphors, this collage that God is giving us. And again, God is the one who gives the growth. We also talked about how, as Paul told us, that God is going to be faithful to complete this work in us. So that even though it's very gradual and it grows, but there is an end game. And the end game for all of us is like God has plans to basically make us saints, to make us better than we could even imagine ourselves being. And we talked about the story of Pandita Ramabai, who really brought together the social justice and the charismatic tradition to tell a story in her life which was really powerful and impactful. And at least for me, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to match up to Pandita Ramabai. But I do think that there's this completeness, that there's this sort of, that there is a sainthood that Gary de la Peña Vanderkolt Paul can become. And it's true for every single one of us, that there's a way that God is calling us into the stature of a person who is genuinely a saint, who is, in a sense, a holy person, a holy man, or a holy woman that kind of gives off a certain, like, scent that you can sort of tell, and that people at work can even, like, notice, that's the destiny that God has for us in this life, and God is at work to create this. And then finally, last week, we talked about how we can hope. It's a similar image. It's a related image, but it's this image of not becoming a saint, but of becoming spiritually mature and of attaining to the full stature of Christ. That Christ has standing. Christ has stature. And that we're actually called into that. And so the image of that was really that of a redwood tree, which, I mean, talk about stature. I mean, that's the thing, you know, I really think people should hug a redwood every week. It's really important. And you just look up and you just touch. And it's just, it's really amazing and overwhelming how just the stature of a redwood tree is just staggering. There's almost nothing bigger on earth. And we live right next to them. And that's, it's an image of this picture. And we talked last week as well about how redwoods are not just, they're not just big and impressive, but they're also really fragile by themselves. Because their roots are so shallow and they're so big, if it weren't for other redwood trees, they might get blown over quite easily. But instead, the redwoods have this, these interlocking roots that keeps them strong together. And so the picture last week, as Abby shared and I shared, was of we need each other for revival. That as we're, if we're going to grow up and become sort of mature, that we need the roots of others to kind of connect. So I think it's been really interesting that we would tend to think of like, okay, spiritual practices, that's just what I do on my own. But continually throughout this whole series, we've seen like, no, we need each other. If we're going to run together, finish the race, we need each other. If we're going to grow up into the stature and not get blown over by the wind, we need to interlock our roots with each other and be strong. So I think that that's been a really sort of key theme for us. And I would also say that as we end this series, that for me, like, this is not an end, but a beginning. You know, some in some of our sort of more charismatic traditions, like you pray for revival. And sort of each week you look and see, like, has it broken out yet? How many people were weeping? How many people, like, were knocked over and flipping out on the floor? How many people experienced this overwhelming, you know, and you kind of check it out. Like, anybody? No? Okay, well, maybe next week, you know. But instead, I really think we've had this picture of revival, which is, in a way, gradual and durable and sustainable, and yet very impressive and very optimistic. I think that's the picture we're getting. And that's why I think, like, for me, I never sort of expected, like, all right, well, we'll get this all figured out in 10 weeks and we'll be good. We good? Okay, let's move on. But instead, it's just, it's something that I almost hope becomes a deeper and deeper part of our DNA as a church. This sort of durable optimism, like that we together can believe that, as I've said before many times, like our best years are ahead of us spiritually, that we can grow spiritually, that we will not be overcome. There's a resilience, there's a sense of gradual optimism that is not easily shaken. And that's kind of my prayer for us, that that will grow stronger and deeper in us. For those of you that were around this August, we actually had a little series where we talked about the different sort of parts of our church, which are really deep in our DNA. Like we talked about hospitality and social justice and prayer ministry and these different things that we sort of do by instinct. So I think what I'm hoping for as we continue to move forward, for example, as we start an Advent next week, it's just a deeper and deeper sense that we're going to grow. That growth is our destiny, and that there's a way that we're going to continue to meet God. And this doesn't mean a sense of like growth happens in spurts. Growth is unpredictable. Growth looks different. There have been seasons in my life, as I'm sure it's true in yours, where growth looked like not quitting. Like, it is really true that there are hard times, and that doesn't mean you're like, here's how I'm growing. But it can, it does just mean like sometimes survival is growth. That's really a true thing. But that's not a permanent state, that there's a way in which, just like Chaim is going through different growth spurts, you know, like he kind of cruises along and then like, whoa, now he just put on a pound in a day. How did that happen? Poor Melissa, you know, like, good job. Very faithful. In the same way, too, like, we have those things. So if you're in a place where you're like, I'm just holding on, that's okay. There's a growth spurt coming. Hang in there. We have this temptation, I think, when we're in a place of like, I feel like I'm not growing. I feel like I'm just surviving. We have, it's a very strong human temptation to just want to quit. But it's in that place that I think all these images would speak to us of a reality of a mysterious force called the Holy Spirit, which is actually drawing us towards growth. And that's that spirit, that power of the Holy Spirit, that mystical force that makes plants grow and makes bodies grow stronger when they, all those things, that spiritually speaking, that force is among us. God has given us, you know, the Word has been made flesh and the Spirit has been given to us. And so we have good reason for optimism. This is not something we're trying to work up in ourselves. That the reason that I will continue as a leader of this congregation, of this community, I will continue to lead this way, believing that like this force of the Spirit is among us. And I think I have good grounds for optimism, and I think you do too. And I'm going to assume moving forward, as long as I'm called to be part of this church, that this Holy Spirit is present and that we have a destiny to grow over time. And I expect to see new and good things all the time. Not because of us. We're jars of clay, man. We're broken. But the Spirit is that gold that brings us together and creates a new work of art and continues to sort of transform us. So at the end of the day, the time for revival is always now. That voice that says, like, how can you say that? The voice that can even, I realize that this sort of, all these images can almost sound kind of mean in a way. Like, how can you say that to me right now as I'm struggling? Shouldn't you just sort of say it's okay? Like, why this sense of like, there can be more? And I would just say it's because the Bible tells me so. I would actually say that's part of our faith, this sense of optimism and belief for revival in our own lives. That's part of what it means to have faith, even when I'm not feeling it. And maybe faith just means I can never feel it. I'm going to keep coming to this community, and I'm going to like draft off other people's faith. You know, maybe where your redwood is growing right now, maybe it's kind of dry. But if you're connected with the roots of other redwoods around you, you're going to get those nutrients you need. So revival is communal, and optimism is communal. And if you don't have it right now, find somebody who does. And then when you're experiencing a growth spurt, you'll do it for them. And that's what the church looks like. I know that's kind of basic in a way, but in some ways, it's also really elusive. And so I just believe that as the years go by, that that's going to become a deeper and deeper part of our community as we learn to not just survive, but to thrive as we experience God's revival in a regular way. So blessings on Advent. May it be a great time of revival. And as we continue to show up for each other, just believing that we don't even know what that can look like yet. It's very exciting. Let me offer an invitation to prayer ministry at this time. A part of our sort of daily revival, we do this every single week. The words are always a little different, but the invitation is always the same. To come together and interlock your roots with somebody else to receive the strength and nutrients of the Holy Spirit. And we want to give a special invitation this week to people who are feeling a sort of stubborn tiredness that feels like it just won't go away. Also to someone who's going through transition right now that's been really disruptive. We'd also like to pray for those of you who are dreading your time with your families in this upcoming week. And then finally, for people who do long for that sense of having interconnected roots with other people and who feel like the interconnections are a little bit weak. If you're in any of those places, we would love to pray for you. And let me also just pray for us as we kind of close our series and as we start our sort of new beginning. Jesus, I thank you for being present in the Apostle Paul and for, as he was writing these epistles, for giving him all these crazy metaphors. Lord, thank you for how they echo through the generations and through these 2,000 years now to speak to us today. And Jesus, I thank you that the same Spirit that inspired Paul is the same Spirit who's present among us. Jesus, I pray that you would give us a durable optimism, a durable hope, Lord, a sense of unshakable faith that as we move forward. And Lord, help us to be each other's keepers. Lord, help us to support each other well when that faith fades, when that optimism fades, Lord. As a community, Jesus, interlock our roots together. Help us to grow strong and tall. Lord, help us to embody what it looks like to have the stature and the maturity of Jesus. Thank you for the destiny that you have for each one of us, and thank you for the chance to worship together now. In Jesus' name, amen.